Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dreamcatcher podcast, a place where your dreams can find a voice. Today, we're going to be talking about a story of redemption and forgiveness. Growing up, Stephanie Thornton Plymail faced a life full of hardships. Hunger, poverty, homelessness, foster homes, ongoing sexual abuse, and a perpetually absent mother who spent most of her life in and out of jails and psych wards. In her memoir, The American Daughter, she goes in depth into the painful events of her life and the shocking revelations she had after reuniting with her terminally ill mother. Today, Stephanie is the CEO of Heritage School of Interior Design and the founder of the Heritage Home Foundation, a nonprofit serving families transitioning from homelessness. She continues to live a balanced family life with her husband and three children. Join me for this profound and uplifting conversation where we cover some of the themes in her book. Stephanie offers advice on how we can cope with trauma, reckon with a difficult past, and transform our pain into something positive. I hope you'll enjoy it. If you do, please do rate, like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Thanks. Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you? I'm so thrilled to be with you.
I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. And I'm even more glad to have this opportunity to talk about your book, American Daughter. It is such a beautiful and touching story. I was truly moved by it.
Thank you.
You know, as someone who's had a challenging parental relationship, I could relate to some of the themes that you write about. Yeah. And I'm sure that that's the case for a lot of people who will read this book because, you know, all of us have a tough time with reckoning with our past and some of the relationships that we've had in our family. So thank you for being brave enough to write about this because I'm sure it's going to help a lot of people.
Thank you for saying that. I really hope so. And that's kind of my overarching prayer and why one of the reasons why I wrote this book. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about that moment when you said, okay, I'm ready to share my story with the world.
Yeah.
Because you have to get to a place where you're comfortable enough to open up about these very intimate and painful events that you went through as a child. How did you get to that point?
Well, I had been living with so much inside me, secrets inside me, and this past that I shared with no one outside of my husband. And that was when I was 15 years old. And after I shared it with him, I sealed it up inside me. I put a wall up. I put draperies up. I put all of these layers. I put my career, success, all these layers, but I had this past that was haunting me. And also I just had so much shame. I couldn't even really talk to people because I couldn't share anything of my past. If you asked me, where did you grow up? You know, in a car, in a foster home, in a place called the dependent unit, in another car. I just didn't know where to start. I was exhausted by trying to come up with reasons and excuses and trying to figure out a way to divert attention from myself. And I had an incident that happened that kind of broke me. I was in Vegas with some design students and we were at dinner and one of the students just kept asking and over and over and over, where'd you grow up? How many siblings do you have? All these questions. And I just couldn't fake it anymore. And out came, for the next 2 hours, I just started pouring everything out. And I thought, oh my gosh, what did I do? Came back to dinner the next day thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to quit school. My schools are going to shut down. And the girl said, last night was the best night of our lives. Can you continue? And I felt this immense just relief. Like I had let this out. And I knew then that I needed to tell my story. I needed to come out of shame. And then simultaneously, my mother was diagnosed with a terminal cancer. And that began the series of, I have to find out what happened. How did she get so mentally ill? Because she has these three personalities. She had bipolar, schizophrenic. She'd been in and out of psych wards up to 100 times in my lifetime. How did my childhood get so bad? And so I went in to do these interviews with my mother to get answers. And then what happened was so incredible. Her story, finding out what happened to her. I wanted to tell the story at that point.
Okay. So I'm guessing it was a process. It didn't happen overnight.
Well, I mean, I held all this in for 50 years. The book is really live. I mean, I'm going in for these interviews and I'm writing everything down. I'm writing what is happening with these conversations with my mom. Everything that's happening in the book is also happening live. And so I wanted to write this book. It was so cathartic and healing for me to write this book. I mean, there's nothing like that. Just, I loved that process. I absolutely loved it. So the next step was sharing the story with the world, and I was ready to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Did you ever talk about this with anyone? Did you go into therapy or?
Oh, yeah. I have the best therapist. I mean, I've been in therapy forever. I mean,
but before you decided to write this book, were you getting the help that you process all of this?
I really was. I had started in some trauma therapy, if you've ever heard of that.
And I have. Yeah.
I did quite a bit of like EMDR. And so I had started to process the trauma of my childhood in therapy, which made me ready to be able to talk about it. Because if you don't process the trauma, it's really hard to talk about it because it just triggers you.
You're lost in the emotions, right? You can't give it structure. You can't give it form.
Yeah. And you can't, you know, trauma is just so powerful in your life. And once you start to talk about it, if you haven't dealt with it, it'll just trigger you and, you know, send you back into some of those habits or whatever you were doing to manage it.
Yeah, let's talk about that. See, people who usually have difficult and traumatic pasts, they tend to soothe their pain in unhealthy ways. They become addicts. Mm-hmm. They get into abusive and codependent relationships. And sometimes, sadly, they even take their own lives. Mm. How were you able to avoid that fate?
Well, I did have my own coping skills, and then I do talk about that and express that in the book. You know, I have this passion for design and this passion for home, but what ended up happening for me is those became like an obsession. You know, it became like an obsession to look a certain way or to be a certain way and not to be authentic. And that was kind of killing my marriage in a lot of ways. It probably affected my kids. Because I had to have everything perfect. So I didn't.
Were you like a people pleaser or perfectionist?
I was definitely, I was talking about that on another podcast. I'm definitely a recovered people pleaser for sure. You know, I also was really sad. I mean, I never saw myself as a depressed person, but I was sad. Sometimes I would cry starting on Friday after work all the way until Monday. I mean, gut wrenching, crying because I had so much pain and loss in my life that was undealt with. So I may not have turned to drugs and alcohol. That wasn't my thing. I wanted to be the opposite of that. That's what I saw growing up. And so that wasn't a trigger for me. I had planned on being the opposite of that. But my own passions and the things that I loved didn't bring me joy. They became an obsession in a way to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean by that? Instead of being authentically myself.
So you felt like no matter what you did, you weren't good enough because void inside you.
Absolutely. I mean, I think for somebody like me, it's, in a lot of ways, it's just, I think it's probably going to be with me, and something I struggle with is that I don't feel good enough. I don't feel worthy. I grew up being nothing and nobody. I grew up in a foster care system where I went from different homes or living in the back of my mom's car. And my mom was the focus of our life because she was mentally ill and she was in and out of prison. She wasn't paying attention. So I think in some ways I'll probably always feel a little bit, you know, like I'm not good enough. And in some ways that propels me to want to keep moving forward, but that's definitely there.
It's there. Yeah. I mean, with your mom, you were estranged from her for a long time, right? For a few years. What was it like when she reconnected with you? How did you feel? Like, how did you find it in your heart to forgive her and even become her caretaker when she was ill?
Well, I always loved my mom. And I always longed for my mom. And when we were estranged, because we were estranged legally because she had threatened to kill me, burn my house down, and harm me.
Whoa.
And so she was arrested and they put a stalking order on her, which is actually more extreme than even a restraining order. If she broke that, she would go to prison. So we were estranged in a serious way.
Yeah.
And when she called, I picked up the phone immediately because I missed my mom. I mean, I love my mom. I loved her. I wanted a relationship with her
because it seems like she wasn't there and she wasn't able to function properly in the role of a mother. So
horrible.
What did you love about her despite the fact that she couldn't be there for you?
I think it's just more of a primal mother-daughter connection that I had and a longing. I would say I always longed to have a mother and to have her as my mother. And I was always looking for a mother figure out in the world too. I just longed for that in my life, but I still loved my mom. Probably there's no reason why. I would say I loved my mom and I wanted that relationship with her. And, you know, through the series of interviews, I learned about what happened to her in 1953 when she was abducted. And that really changed everything. And also, I want to backtrack. When I did start these interviews, I wanted her to take responsibility. That was one of my motives in addition to finding out what happened. I wanted her to take responsibility. But when I found out what happened to her, that need to have her take responsibility and accountability was turned into more empathy and compassion. And that's really where our journey started to be together instead of, you know, against each other or me being against her.
You found the humanness in her, essentially.
Yeah. It wasn't just that she was selfish. It wasn't that she was a drug addict. It wasn't all these things. It was because of what happened to her when she was 11. She was completely broken. She was abducted and she was held captive and then brutalized and then put into a home for girls where she miscarried and then kind of thrown away in her mind. So imagine going from being one of the most affluent families and growing up with affluence and being an aristocrat to that. You could see how she could become this person.
You have ancestors that date back to George Washington, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is that from your mom's side?
Yeah. So what ended up happening, and I'll explain a little bit. I grew up with not having any family, any lineage, not an aunt, not an uncle. I never knew who I was. I felt like a nobody, you know, just this child, throwaway child. So growing up, I would hear from my mom when she would be getting arrested or be put into a straitjacket, "How dare you touch me? Do you know who I am? I am a direct descendant of George Washington. And I built this country on our backs." I mean, she was indignant that anybody would treat her this way. always just imagining that this was a delusion, not ever thinking that this is true.
True, yeah.
So during my interviews with her, all I needed to find out who my family was to find out who my grandparents were, the Thorntons, and that and my grandfather linked all the way back to the founders of our country, George Washington being my uncle, Elizabeth Betty Washington, his sister, is my grandmother. And so that's where the lineage goes, all the way down to luminaries in education. You know, this family started the Harvard University, all the university, like not all of them, but University of Virginia and John Hopkins. And so this really was a very prestigious family that when my mother was kidnapped and abducted, everything fell apart. The family was destroyed. And then you see my story, An American Daughter. And that's how that came out.
Right. And another thing that you uncovered was that there was intergenerational trauma that you had to reckon with. Your intergenerational trauma, for those who you don't know, is basically trauma and patterns that are passed down through families. How did that manifest in your family? We know how it manifested with your mom, but does it go further? Like, were there other people in your family who had to?
When I did some research on my grandmother, what ended up happening with my grandmother, where I believe the intergenerational trauma, and where I really believe that a lot of this started, was that my grandmother, who was an aristocrat as well, and she was supposed to be a famous artist, well, she married her chauffeur. And it sounds like Downton Abbey, but she married her chauffeur, and the family disowned her. I mean, just that word, disown, you know, and that's your daughter. And so she was estranged from the family.
Mm.
The grandparents didn't want her to raise my mother. And so that, I believe, is where a lot of the intergenerational trauma started. And so that created this division, my mother, the mother-daughter division, and uh-huh. then me. So there's these generations of trauma. And how that cycles through the family and kind of tears at the family, the family structure, and that I really believe had a lot to do with what happened to my mother.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, bad people abducted her, horrible human beings, but the family system was set up that she wasn't necessarily protected the way she should have been, and in my mind.
Yeah, I mean that manifests energetically, but also the way someone is parented. You know, I went for an intergenerational healing workshop, but that was more spiritually oriented. So mm-hmm. I actually had a visceral experience of what it's like to break that chain and mm-hmm. be part of that lineage. Did you feel like you were sort of the chosen one, mm-hmm. the person who was going to heal that trauma that was being passed down?
Well, I really didn't set out or think that I was a chosen one. I do know that my siblings suffered. There was a lot of drug addiction and mental illness and different things within my siblings and in their life. And I knew that I was always different and chose to be different in that way. But I didn't set out to restore this whole family in kind of the things that happened through my relationship with my mother, and through the forgiveness and being there with her and being by her side and repairing that relationship that we had. I really believe that intergenerational trauma is no longer present in my family. You know, yeah. My mom and I healed together, I would say. I feel like she healed my heart because she gave me the mother that I wanted to have, even if it was just for a short time. And I brought all of my heritage back and my family back, even to the point where I brought everybody and have a burial site for everybody to be together so that I can go and visit everybody. And like the family is back together. So I never saw myself as a chosen one, but I wanted so bad to have family, to have lineage, that I was able to bring us all back together. in a really good way.
Has it made you a better mother? Because you have kids, right?
Yes. I don't know. I feel like I'm more authentically me as a mother instead of having to be this like perfect mother or trying to not share authentically. Like with my daughter's 18 now, and I think she feels like she wished that I would have been more authentic and tell her my story rather than reading about it in a book. She would have preferred not to do that.
She knew nothing about it, right?
She didn't know anything. No, not at all. I was so guarded from my kids. And I think back and I have regrets about that because I wish that I could have shared more. I think it would have been good for them and better for them. And, but I just wanted to protect them.
Yeah. And I don't even think they would have the bandwidth or the emotional languaging to really understand what you went through.
Mm-hmm. Probably not. They probably just need to read about it in my book if they choose to.
But I'm sure that they respect you even more.
They do. They're so proud of me. They're very proud of me.
They should be.
And a lot of this work was done as they were older. So,
And Stephanie, what I love most about your story is that you were able to transmute all that pain that you went through as a child into something positive. You started two philanthropic organizations, the Heritage Home Foundation and Project Lemonade. Love the name, by the way. So tell us about these projects and how that's changed your life.
So Project Lemonade, I serve on the board. And what Project Lemonade is it's fabulous. So a lot of foster kids have low self-esteem, obviously. And one of the big factors is looking different than other kids and being different than other kids and not having the family. So Project Lemonade actually provides shoes, clothes, backpacks, stylish new clothes in a little store that they have. So kids from group homes or foster homes can come and select clothes for the school year, which just raises their self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And so I love this little organization. I mean, it's been challenging with COVID, same with Heritage Home. With the goal of Heritage Home is to help furnish homes for people who are transitioning into their own homes, because we have found that people who have a furnished home have a 90% retention rate to keep their homes. So it's not just about having space. It's about creating a home for people. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of my mission. We also feed the homeless here in Portland. We obviously, you guys have a big homeless situation too.
Los Angeles, yes.
And it's just really sad. So I just want to do my part. I mean, I know what it's like to live in a car. I know what it's like to be freezing cold in a car. Just waiting for that next meal. These are people, these are human beings, and we just need to do our part.
That's beautiful. And I mean, you develop this empathy because of everything that you've been through. You've been in their shoes.
I have. Yeah, I really have. So I don't just look at this as like a pile of trash in our community. I understand it is, but they're also people.
Right. Stephanie, that's beautiful. One last question. Yes. Do you have any advice for those who are trying to reckon with their past and, you know, start that healing journey to come to that place of peace?
Well, I just want to say that I'm so grateful that I did this work in my life. And granted, it is hard to do the work. But for me, I'm living so free from shame. I'm living a life that I got to have that relationship with my mother that I always longed for. And had I not done that, I would still be living in this state of pain. And so whatever that is in your past, if you're ready to do the work, I say do it, and it'll be worth it in the long run. You will realize you'll have that heavy, suffocating hide that's been on your back. And once it's lifted, you don't even know how light and your life can feel when you're not carrying that around. because people get so used to carrying the shame or their past.
Yeah.
They don't realize how much better they're going to feel when you just take it off.
I know. But for them, it's like, how do they take it off? Like what worked for you? How did you start that process?
Well, so what worked for me in a lot of ways, I did a lot of trauma work with my therapist and I shared my story with my therapist. I can't recommend more having somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
I think that whether it's your therapist or best friend, I mean, I think therapy is fabulous. I love my therapist. He's a big part of the story coming out. But I also think you've got to do the work with the people that hurt you or the people that you have something against. I think depending on who it is, sometimes doing that work with them to reconcile can be the best thing for you. But you do have to be, you have to be in a place where you're ready. You need to have the support around you. Mm-hmm. You need to be, have the self-care, be gentle and loving with yourself because it's really hard work. But it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that. You seem like you're in a very balanced and happy place in your life now.
I am. I mean, my life is very peaceful and full of love, and I'm living my best life. I'm doing things that I never thought I would do. I never thought I would share my story, let alone talk to lovely people like you on podcasts and share my story with the media. Millions of people or thousands of people, however many are going to read the book. You know, I never thought that would even be possible, but it is.
But it is. And you made it happen, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So Stephanie's book is called American Daughter. And it was published in mid-January. Is that right?
Yeah, January 12th, it was published. And you can purchase anywhere books are sold, Barnes & Noble, Target, Amazon, any of your independent stores. And also the audiobook, Mojan Marno is the reader, and it's actually Mojan. She's fabulous. It's amazing.
Wonderful. And I'm sure a lot of people will look forward to reading it or listening to it.
Yeah.
Really appreciate your time to be here, Stephanie, and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.